standing 5'9" out of Providence, Rhode Island, boxer and entrepreneur, Anthony Marcella. Anthony, welcome.
I appreciate it, man. Pleasure.
Yeah, how did I do? Did I do okay there?
So far, so good. Yeah, I mean, better than me. Better than me this morning. I'll say that much.
Well, when you get the you know, you hear somebody kind of call your name and all that, do you just get that energy? That like kind of like when you're in the ring and you hear them calling you out like that?
Yeah, there's a couple of videos on my Instagram that, you know, we always use kind of for like the intro to the videos and stuff, because somebody captured a great announcement one day, you know, there's Providence's own, et cetera, et cetera, Anthony Marcella. So, you know, watching those videos, especially now that I'm out of the ring, you know, nostalgic, I suppose. I'm still 28, so it's still like, do I want to do it again? Do I want to get back in there? But yeah, no, I mean, it was fun, and it's definitely, I mean, it made me who I am, boxing. So, you know, I lived for that, and my father definitely did. That's it.
Oh man, well, as a dad with kids, you know, dad, I see, you know, when you see your kids doing anything, you just kind of get into it. And so, but to prep for the call today, like I hung my heavy bag up, I turned up the music in my gym, and I just like went at it. And like, to me, there's no better feeling, right? Like, you just locked in, you get your anger out, you get a workout in, like, it's just such a good feeling. Like, do you miss it?
Until you do it for a living, yes, I would agree. When it becomes,
but isn't it nice when they're not punching back? The bag doesn't hit back.
When it becomes a job, it's a little different, you know. It's like anything else, yeah, when you mix up you know, personal and business. So when it becomes a business, it's a little different. But I mean, what I do, I mean, I still miss all of it. I mean, even the you know, the low moments, I suppose, of a boxing career. It's like, it's the grind, you know. It's the grind that you're always going to miss. You know, they talk about how, you know, it's not the destination, you know, happiness, success, it's the journey at the end of the day. So looking back and thinking about all the times where it's like, it was tough, it was rugged, you know, I was broke, I was having bad days, getting beat up, or, you know, it's a lonely sport, I'll tell you that. Boxing is an unforgiving sport. But I mean, 100%, I miss the routine of going to the gym, I'll say that much. You know, I've been packing on these pounds since COVID, but you know, I mean, 'cause I boxed all my life, so I've never like not had a six pack.
But how do you burn off the energy now?
I mean, just work. I drown myself in work. I'm 28 years old, and COVID kind of removed the decision for me to have to choose between, you know, the entrepreneurial side of me and my boxing career. And my boxing career was kind of an accident. It wasn't something that ran in the family. I never really watched boxing. I mean, I still, or even when I was fighting as a professional, didn't really follow the sport. Like, wasn't a student of the game. After my first couple of years, actually, I should say, because I was definitely a student of the game when I first started. But that's for, you know, we'll get into the how I started boxing story, and I'll explain why that was the case. But
jump in now, man. Let's go. Let me hear.
Well, all right. So I started boxing when I was 14 years old. I got into a fight when I was in middle school. A high school kid had, you know, he was like ninth grade, had some friends in like eighth grade. I was in sixth grade, just got to middle school. And this kid came and, you know, mouthed it off to me. I mouthed it off back, and he hit me, I hit him. That was it. You know, it wasn't nothing crazy, but my father is a old school, you know, wise guy Italian. So I lost my mom when I was seven. So he's raising me alone at this point. And you know, had to think with a new brain, you know. Couldn't think like the old school Anthony Marcella Sr. His name is also Anthony. And you know, he resorted to wanting to make sure that, you know, I could defend myself and learn how to fight. So that's why he brought me to a boxing gym originally. I didn't really stick with it because it was like kind of a class format. But then we had gone to a local fight, and at the event, I was just like, Dad, I want to box again. And we went to a gym, and I started like sparring and stuff. And I've always been naturally athletic. Like, I played basketball, baseball. I had just started football at the time when I was boxing, but I ended up breaking my thumb while I was playing. Actually, not while I was playing football, but like, you know, during that period of playing football, I actually broke it at the beach. It's not a fun story. Everybody's like, oh, you break it in boxing, or you break it in football. Yeah, like, no, I fell at the beach. But I ended up putting those sports down as I started boxing because high school practice for all the high school teams and
Yeah.
stuff was like around 5 o'clock. That's when the boxing gym hours were. And let's face it, I wasn't going to the league. So, but boxing definitely had a shot at it. It's as an Italian American fighter, who had
Yeah.
already kind of established a good following locally because of the relationship, the network that my family had, my father had. People were excited, when I was fighting as an amateur. So we knew that we could do something even on a small scale. Again, it wasn't a plan to like become a Floyd Mayweather up until I started just making my way to the regionals, nationals, which again was never part of the plan. It was the only reason I had took my first fight, which just will allude to the story of when I became a student of the game. I went to the gym one day and they were like, "Oh, well, everybody was getting ready to leave. They were going up to this tournament in Lowell, Mass, called the Silver Mittens." So there's a silver gloves, which is like the golden gloves for
Yeah.
under 17. Silver Mittens was kind of just like a side tournament that somebody threw. It was like a weekend tournament, two fights, and I was just going to watch. And I guess somebody in
Yeah.
my weight class had fallen out, and they were like, "You want to fight?" And I was like, "I'm not no bitch,
Yeah.
so yeah." But got in there and it was just like it was a dog fight. So when you first your first fight in the amateurs, you can't fight somebody with more than three fights. So this person had one or two fights, whatever. But I lost my first fight, and that lit the fuse, and that's really kind of what made me Anthony Marcello the boxer, because now it was
Yeah.
like I gotta redeem myself. And like nobody was gonna outwork me, so that was my thing. I wasn't the most talented fighter when I started. I
Yeah.
was naturally athletic, like I said, but you weren't gonna outwork me. I was gonna be the last one punching, and like that's really how I made my way to my first couple of national tournaments, because the other guy was getting gassed out while I was still punching.
Yeah. That obviously comes, with the mental game and the physical game and but then obviously the talent. So how does it work? Do you have a favorite punch combo? Like you had seven knockouts in your career. Do you have to have a favorite or you don't want to have a favorite because then people will know.
I mean, so I fight righty, but I am a lefty. But the
Yeah.
only things I do lefty is right and shoot a basketball lefty.
Got
But
it. Got it.
that's clearly my my more coordinated hand. So
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
my jab and my left hook was really like that was my money maker. I love the hook,
Yeah.
because I could snap it. And I mean, I could fight, a whole. If somebody had to take my right hand away, I could fight
Yeah.
a whole match with my. Yeah, that's your lead hand. So if you're fighting righty and
Right.
your left jab, I could just keep you at bay with my jab, my little uppercut, and
Yeah.
the body, etc. And you could have fun with it. And me, so seven knockouts. Knockouts are, I wasn't Mike Tyson, that wasn't my style. I came into the sport, so alluding to the student of the game,
Yeah.
factor. When I started boxing, Floyd was hot, right? So he was like in his prime. I think the first fight I actually sat down and watched, like the Mike Tyson fights all my life were always like family would get together and watch them. But I was a kid, I didn't really care. I didn't really understand what was going on. But the first fight that I sat down and like was watching was Floyd Mayweather versus Ricky Hatton.
Yeah.
And so I became a student of the game and just watching Floyd, for obvious reasons, the lifestyle, flashy, et cetera, money team, money Mayweather, pretty boy
Yeah.
Floyd. But it was just something about like I'm very analytical, like even in business, like to me, everything is data. Like I care about data. I care about numbers. I'm a numbers guy. And
Yeah.
Floyd was a pure artist in there. He
100%.
was to hit and not get hit.
Yeah.
Milk the boxing cow. Rob the boxing bank, which he did. And that's kind of following that blueprint, so me becoming a student of the game, you know, at 14, 15, 16 years old, it was just, I would literally just watch Floyd Mayweather videos all day, every day, and just watching like how he moved, how he did the pulls, and, you know, how he countered different shots, et cetera. So that was like me being the student of the game. But then student of the game on the business side, and this is where I guess I got a little bit more consumed. I didn't have a Ben, you know, as a manager, and all due respect to my father, who was, you know, I guess my unofficial manager, but, you know, he didn't have a background in boxing and or you know, business for that matter. You know, he's a tile man by trade, runs his own business, but yeah, he's a sole prop essentially, you know. Well, actually not essentially, he is. I just set him up his company in LLC form last year.
Yeah. And
my aunt's like the bookkeeper, she like still hasn't settled the business bank account. They're still not running it like a business. Nobody wants to listen to me because I'm just a kid, you know. But you know, he didn't know much about boxing or business. And
yeah,
I was big into personal development out through high school, you know, Thinking Grow Rich, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, How to Win Friends and Influence Others, you name the book. And I was just consumed with like how to become better. And I just live by the philosophy of like, find the people who have what you want, do what they do, say what they say, get what they get, you know, yeah. Law of attraction, law of association, you know, all the principles, all the laws, you name it. And, you know, I guess where I become a student of the game on the business side of boxing was the reason why I moved to Las Vegas to go start training around being around Floyd Mayweather was very simple. He made the most money in boxing. He's never lost. Yep. You know, he knows something I don't know. So I just wanted to associate around those people. And, you know, coming from Providence, Rhode Island, you know, in all due respect with all the fighters that came out of Providence, because you know, a lot of them did greater things, achieved more than I had, you know, world champions, Peter Manfredo, Vinny Paz, you know, you name it. Boo Boo, Demetrius Andrade, he's a current world champion out of Providence. For me, it was like, all right, you know, these guys aren't living the Floyd lifestyle. They're not, you know, they're not going to go down the Floyd.
Not many people are living that lifestyle, by the way.
Right. And so that was my whole philosophy of why I went out there. And why, when I went out there, I was, for the first time, well, first I went to Vegas was a national tournament. So that was the first time I was there. Drove by Floyd's gym with my dad one time, but that was like the extent. Then another time I went out there, just like with a friend for like 2 weeks. And my dad had a friend, like a childhood friend that had a house out there. So he let us stay in like a spare bedroom. And my whole goal was like just to be out there and try to get in the gym and like try to meet some people. And this was around when Floyd was training for the Pacquiao fight. So,
yep.
You know, a lot.
So you were there with him. You were there.
Yeah. And Paulie D, who was a Rhode Island guy.
Rhode Island guy, yeah.
Yeah. He was always like, oh, if you're ever in Vegas, you know, hit me up. Because there's so many stories. When I started boxing, Paulie was used to train at our gym in Silver Lake in Providence at Bledo's gym, Gary Bledo's gym. And I remember when he came into the gym, it was probably around the same era, like when I had my first couple of fights, and he was like talking about how he got like this audition for this show. And, you know, like when that whole thing happened, like,
yeah.
I remember his the last time I saw him before he popped was, he DJ'd my high school, like homecoming dance.
That's awesome. That's a good story right there.
Yeah. So when I was in Vegas, I hit up Paulie and, I was like, oh yeah, I'm in Vegas, you know, training at Floyd's, blah blah blah. Floyd was not really there until, you know, it was his time to train, and when he got there, he fled out the gym, like nobody was allowed in the gym, like, you know, public.
Yeah.
But Paulie showed up and it was like, come on in, you know, everybody. And so I got in there with Paulie, and I got friendly with one of Floyd Mayweather's bodyguards, who was Italian. I'm Italian, so he was like loving me, and I stayed in contact with him. So when I left, I remember kind of going through like a low moment in my life where I was like, I need to get the hell out of here. Like, I just felt like I plateaued. I'd been in the ring with everybody locally. And I just felt like I wasn't growing anymore, you know, cause I could spar you every day, Ben. Right. But I'm not going to learn anything new. Cause you know, if we're just training with each other, you know, where it's hard to, you know, you gotta be challenged, you gotta be tested, you know? So for me, you know, my whole mindset was like, all right, I just need to get out there. And I was struggling to kind of find support to get out there. And all I had was like $800 to my name. So I was like, all right, let me figure this out. Let me do the math here. And I knew that that friend, his name's Greg, one of Floyd's bodyguards, said that if I ever was out there, you know, I needed a place to stay while I was training, that he had a spare room, et cetera, et cetera. So I hit him up and I was like, hey, I might come out there on Sunday, you know, train there for a week, because I wanted to be there Monday, you know, through Friday to get a full week of training in, just to be in the mix and get that work. And he was, I hit him up on like a Wednesday or a Thursday, and he was like, oh, you should come tomorrow, because like Thursday or Friday, whatever it was, he was like, Floyd has this show at the Cosmopolitan, you know, he's some of his fighters are fighting, so you know, maybe with the promotions, he has some of these guys that he signed. And he's like, you know, we're going to the fights. He's like, I'll bring you with us, and then you know, we're probably gonna go out after with Floyd. So I was like, you just asked me to hang out with Floyd Mayweather. Like, did you just
Yeah, I mean,
invite me to
as a
hang out with Floyd?
boxer, that's a pretty cool experience, right?
Oh my God, it was surreal. It was a surreal moment, because I'm sitting there like, I can't afford to go there. I was like, Sunday was kind of strategically picked, A, because it was like a cheaper day to fly. Like, you want to fly Thursday and Monday, so $800. I ended up spending like 400 of it on the ticket just to get there, because I was like, yes, done, I'm there, I'm going. And
That's such a cool experience, man.
that was that was it, because that trip there is where I kind of got more friendly with Floyd, got some more FaceTime, because Greg would bring me around Floyd all the time. And that Saturday, where most people don't go to the gym, I was like, I'm here to like prove a point, to work, to get noticed. So I went to the gym and ended up sparring with one of these guys that Floyd just signed, and I did real well. And I ended up seeing Floyd over that weekend, and I guess word got around, and you know, he came up to me and was like, oh, you know, I heard you did well this weekend, et cetera. And the next thing I know, like, one of Floyd's guys was like, Floyd wants you to have this, gave me like $4,000 cash, put me in a condo, was like, you know, I want you to be comfortable while you're training for your next fight. And the rest was history, you know. And then now, you know, that's kind of where I started getting a lot of the attention back home, being Floyd and whatnot, which was always the plan. That was always the goal. That's like why I wanted to be there. Like, I needed to shake things up. So
That's
mission
man,
accomplished.
that's
That was an exciting time in my life, that you know, we set that goal and you hit it. So
It's pretty cool and such a cool story and a cool experience how it all kind of got in and I was thinking about boxing more and more and just looking at pictures of you and videos and this and it's like I was thinking that Mike Tyson quote, right? Like everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And so like tell us like what is it like to get punched in the face? Like is it, and then I'm gonna ask you and then the second question is gonna be like we've talked to a bunch of like football players, baseball players, mostly them that where it's just like that feeling, right? Where the ball hits the bat or a pitcher when the ball comes out of your glove or, whatever it is. Like, what's that moment like when you just land a great punch?
So hang on, which one? Do I land the punch or when I get punched in the mouth? Which one do we
Well,
want
you know what? I want to
to
know. Let's go the other direction. I like when you just land a punch and you just know you got the guy. Is there any better feeling?
first? When you crack the puzzle, crack the code, you know, the fighter, right? Once you have his number, you know, your opponent's number, and you just, you know, like there's no tricks, there's nothing that they can really throw at you that you're not prepared for, or that you can't withstand, right? So whether that's they got, you know, pillows for hands, or you know, they just you know, they're slow or whatever, you know, that's when it really becomes fun. And I think that's like where, again, going back to Floyd, where he kind of, that was what he was so good at, is like cracking the code of every fighter. And it's where it was really tough for me as an amateur, because amateur fights are only 3 rounds. So I'm trying to emulate a fighter like Floyd, who you know, I probably should have like looked at his amateur fights rather than his pro fights, because it's hard to emulate a professional boxing fight that is 8, 10, 12 rounds when you have to get in there and get out, and the amateurs with 3 round fights. Because I don't have time to learn a guy, you know. It's like I got to go in there and rock 'em, sock 'em, robots, and just land the most punches, you know. Because you got the judges who aren't like, you know, these seasoned, like professionally trained judges. So it's like, I mean, I can say stories at national championship tournaments where like we saw old ladies that were judges like falling asleep at the fucking table, like crazy stuff.
Jesus.
These are people that are determining who should go to the Olympics, you know?
That's crazy.
But yeah, absolutely the same. But yeah, cracking that code, I mean, that's where it really got really fun for me. Like I almost loved making people miss more than I liked like hitting them. Like it was fun for me to like dance in there. And that's really what it was, you know, it was dancing around and making people miss, making people pay. I wasn't the Iron Mike, you know, where I had this you know ironclad, you know, right hand. That's where like for me it was chess, where it's like I'm gonna you know read you, pick you apart, break you down, and then you know try to take you out, you know.
Right.
Your early fights, like you know my 13 fights, I think 7 knockouts, right? A lot of those, the beginning of your career is real tough because you're supposed to win. You know, if you don't, you either you have poor
you're
management, put you in the air above your head before you're like you're growing. You have to grow a fighter, and it's a business model, really. And that's where it got really tough for me because I was wearing a lot of hats, and probably to my own fault, whether it be trust issues and management or just you know me thinking I know it all, but just because I did so much reading and like I was again student of the game. And became more of a student of the business of boxing than anything else. I was matchmaking my fights. I was promoting my fights. I was wow. pushing everything. And it's like, I need to focus on training and just getting better at my craft though. So when I'm worrying about all the business stuff on top of the physical stuff, that's where it got like a lot to handle, especially when you're broke. So
yeah,
it was a great learning experience, and you know how that leads to business, obviously
that,
I'm sure you can figure out why that a lot of those attributes are applicable.
For sure, and that's where I was gonna go, and I appreciate you making that transition, right? So like now you're on the other side of the ropes, and you have seems like more going on now than you ever have. I saw the I was gonna say self-proclaimed serial entrepreneur, but you are like the definition of entrepreneur. Tell me about what's going on, you know, specifically with PBD Capital.
So try to keep this semi-short because I can talk, as you probably can see.
I love it. You make my job easy, man.
There's so many you know nooks and crannies we can dive into. But boxing at the end of the day was my first business, is what it comes down to, you know. I don't think people look at it that way. But I did. And when I kind of reverse engineered the why Floyd made so much money in boxing, it was because he was the promoter, you know, Mayweather promotion. Yeah. He cut out the middleman. And you know, kudos to Al Haymon, his advisor. Yeah, he pulls the God strings in boxing. Entertainment really. God, do you know Al or of Al?
I've heard the name, but like man, like there's nobody better than right Floyd and his guys at promoting, right?
Absolutely. And Al, it's funny, you know, I know you're Tom Brady's manager. So it's like for you to say like, oh yeah, I know Al's name, but don't know Al. It's like, that's how he's like the guy behind the curtain. He's like, he stays so low key, you know? And it's like, that's
awesome.
That's almost scary in a way. Like that's like, this guy's got that much,
right.
That much power, you know, and nobody knows who he is. There's like one photo of him ever online. Yeah, so Al, Al was he did things with like Michael Jackson's career, like he was involved in some major stuff, Harvard grad, did his thing. Kudos to Al. And Floyd, so Floyd bought himself out of his top rate contract. I think it was like $700,000. So Mayweather Promotions comes into existence, he fights De La Hoya, you know, it's Golden Boy, Mayweather Promotions, co-promotion. Floyd starts making, you know, FU money. And I realized like, oh shoot. Like I started understanding. At the end of the day, you know, the skills pay the bills. Yes. You know, keeping the O. So for Floyd, like keeping that O was critical, obviously. But at the end of the day, you can see this now in the influencers and Jake Pauls, right? And I think, you know, I have a lot to say about Jake Paul, and I have a story actually regarding the start of his boxing career, because I used to spar with his brother and stuff, and so we'll get into that. But I realized early on, like, oh, it doesn't even matter how good you are. What comes down to is how many asses can I put in the seats? And social media thing was like really popping off, and locally I had like So Providence, Rhode Island, which is already small, I had like 10,000 followers on my Instagram, which was like a huge deal to like everybody. So, you know, I mean, a lot of it came from being in the Floyd network and
Floyd.
getting
Yeah,
the
yeah.
publicity like that. But I was a nobody in the grand scheme of like, I didn't win national championships as an amateur. I didn't go to the Olympics. I wasn't signed with some, you know, major promotional company. I never
Yeah.
signed at all. So I stayed independent my entire boxing career. Even when Floyd was interested in signing me when I was out there, because I realized like, oh shoot, all the guys that are signed with him at like this level, my level, they don't have the opportunity to fight as often as I could, because I had like four or five fights a year I could take locally because I bring
Right.
fans. They're gonna put me on the card because I bring the money, I bring the people.
Right. So there's a
And
mix of that always, like the talent and who can fill up seats.
right, 100%.
Yeah.
And for it was so where it became tough for me is I didn't get the respect I felt I deserved from a talent perspective, because I didn't have the credentials, you know, I didn't have the amateur resume, which
Yeah.
ironically, as we're, you know, as I loot I'll transition back into the business side. I struggled with the same thing in the business world, because I don't have the Harvard grad, you know, I don't have a college degree, you know, I don't have the credibility, I don't have the credentials. Similar to the, in boxing, I didn't have the credentials, I didn't have the resume, you know, to get that job, you know, I wasn't
Right.
qualified, you know, so to get signed, to get a big signing bonus and so on and so forth, like wasn't in the cards for me when I was 1, 2, 3, and 0. And
Yeah.
although I got signed with like a Floyd Mayweather, I would have been making, you know, a quarter of the money that I was making fighting locally, because I would get a percentage of the ticket sales commissions, all the local sponsors and stuff like that, that I wouldn't be fighting here if I signed with Floyd. I would have been fighting in like Vegas on Floyd Mayweather
Yeah.
shows, because they're not going to go fly across the country to throw a show for one person, even though they could have. That was kind of my pitch when I was talking to
Yeah.
Leonard LG, who is the CEO of Mayweather Promotions. But
Right. So they just to like kind of like get to get to where you are, like just like ultimately what you're doing is you're taking control. You're not letting anybody else kind of be
that's
the one to like manage you. And like to me, that's how you kind of transition into this even private equity space where you're able to then like go take kind of make the decisions that you've made, kind of grew those muscles and stretch them out as you were doing as a boxer.
Yes. So I tore my labrum while I was
Yeah.
boxing. Before like became the serial entrepreneur, the goal was to start a social media marketing company.
Yeah.
And I tore my labrum, like I said. So I was out of the gym for the first time like in my entire life, since I started
Yeah.
boxing. And the goal was to really just supplement the income, because I wasn't
Yeah.
making, you know, huge money, you know, and you know, three, four, five fights in. And
Yeah.
if I could, my goal was like, if I could just get like 10 clients at $500 a pop, you know, per month to manage their local businesses, you know, socials, et cetera, then I'll be cooking with gas. 'Cause you know, when I get back into the, you know, things, I'll have some residual income and, you know,
Yeah.
so forth. By the time I kind of got things like set up, the company was Nexus E Media, which is now just Nexus, like kind of just my consulting company. Got really away from all the social media stuff entirely, but that was like my start of like trying to start a business, and that kind of leads to the I mentioned the Jake Paul thing, et cetera. Jake or Logan, actually, they fought. I don't know if you know that whole story, that whole timeline there, but they fought against, you know, some other influencers in the UK or London or wherever it was. And they wanted to go pro. So I was working with some influencers, kind of just brokering deals. You know, that's kind of what the media game led to for me, where I wasn't managing people's like, you know, ad accounts and like, you know, their posting schedule. I was more or less like strategically explaining how to improve their branding, how to, you know, become more attractive, because I was really good at promoting myself as a fighter. I kind of understood the branding aspect.
Yeah.
And when I realized that, so if someone like Jake wants to go pro, my whole goal was to try to just broker like the deal of this is you'll appreciate this story.
Yeah.
Showtime, who did, you know, all of Floyd's fights and stuff in the end after HBO kind of died, I emailed everybody at Showtime. I didn't have an assistant, but I created an email that was assistant at nxsmgmt.com. Nexus Management was the name, and I figured I'd look more important if I had an assistant. So I like blasted everybody at Showtime, and eventually got an email back from Steven Espinosa's assistant, and Steven Espinosa was interested in getting on a call. And we just talked about the whole concept, and he said he loved it. I was in over my head at the end of the day. I didn't have any way to like secure my position or how do I eat on this? I didn't really know at the time, how I would. My whole goal though was really just to try to be on the show. It's like if I can get this Jake, a fight promoted by Showtime or on the Showtime's network, then if I can just be on the card for the guy facilitating it, I would be happy because I would elevate my brand because I was still boxing at this point in time. That was like 2019, COVID happens. So now boxing is off the table and I'm like, all right, what do I do? But I had all these kind of things percolating. And I just, at this point in time, I have a credit repair company. And I was like brokering business loans for people, started lending out our own cash, raised some money to lend out that cash. And then I got pitched by a tech company that was looking for money. But they were a startup. So this is kind of how I get into like the venture capital space. And that is what inevitably kind of got me into private equity and the money game at the end of the day. And then the real juice of kind of where I am today is tech companies, because those over the last 2 years, those whether we went belly up tomorrow or never made a dollar from them, what I've gained in the experience of this process is really what's kind of helped me identify and find my passion and my path.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, you've had like, it's so interesting that like the experience you've had in the ring and how you've transitioned that and these relationships and man, there's crazy hustle. So I think like to me here at playing field with this community. So you it seems like you started a foundation, the Marcello Foundation. And like I love this quote. I think I saw there. I believe success is measured only by the number of lives that you can positively impact. So tell me about the foundation so that the community here can support.
So that was something that I created while I was boxing. Didn't really understand the benefits or why kind of everybody else did it. Me personally, like I don't like a lot of things. Like I'm not I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't care for like I mean I actually I like cookies a lot. I was a sweet tooth. I was a monster. But I don't have like these like crazy cravings for things. But I really, really am passionate about just helping people like in any way I can. Like what I get, I have this it's kind of a contradicting thing, but like it's really a selfish feeling. These selfless acts are also selfish, right? Because I feel good about doing things for other people. So it's like, am I doing it for them? Am I doing it for me? That's just I love being able to help people, and that's kind of what I try to do, or what I try to do in any of my endeavors, where it's like if this isn't helping people, if I can't be passionate about the product, if I can't justify what I'm doing, if I'm taking from somebody else by doing this, it's hard for me to be all in on it, to like to have my head in the game. So the foundation when I was boxing was really just like kind of me knowing that I had this platform that I could leverage to help whatever the cause was. So I have when I first started kind of trying to push that, and I'm still trying to kind of gain some traction with them. I realize I need to get to kind of where I'm going to have the ability to help others. That's another thing I played before with, where it's like you can't help everybody if you don't help yourself. But the foundation, the first kind of thing I did was around like Christmas time, these Toys for Tots events, and there was another one that I brought to Twin River Casino when I was fighting, because at Toys for Tots you see all the time, there was one that's called L's for Elders. So it was like, you know, elderly people who, you know, are like in nursing homes, et cetera, that, you know, maybe they don't have any family anymore, or whatever. So they're alone on the holidays. So it was a toy drive or a gift drive for elderly people. And it was just with the person that kind of I bumped into her at like a Mission Nutrition, like shake place, like, you know, Herbalife shake place or something.
Yeah.
And she was talking about it there. And, you know, when I kind of got her into it, I got her a booth at the casino and stuff like that. And it was like, this is just a person doing the event, you know, putting the stuff together.
Yeah.
On the people that are, you know, the elders that are receiving the gifts, but just the feeling I had, you know, of being able to facilitate that little
thing better, right?
Yeah, just because I had like the ability to do so, you know, which I you know, the something that you'll appreciate, that comes from my father, because I can tell you a story that I'll never forget, and this is probably something that really just set in with me, and it's probably why this became my thing. But one of the fighters at the gym I trained at, who was like national champion, like renowned, you know, street kid, came from, you know, inner city, great kid, great fighter. He was trying to sell a pair of his boxing gloves one day at the gym. Now, boxing gear, you know, it can get expensive. So I always use, they're called winning gloves, winning grants. You know, these are like $300-$500 pairs of gloves.
Yeah.
So he was trying to sell these gloves because his radio got stolen out of his car. So, you know, my dad was like, don't sell your gloves. Like, cause we need that, you know, the expensive gloves and stuff, so they don't break our hands and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
When we left the gym, my dad, instead of going home, he went to Walmart and, I'm like, what are we doing? He's like, and he grabbed a radio off the shelf, and, it was like $200. Right. You know? And, we go to, his house and call him up and come outside and gave him that radio. And it was like, he was just like, shook. Like, why? And he's like, my dad was just like, because like, those are your gloves, man. Like, I know how expensive those gloves are, you know.
Wow.
Keep your gloves, bro. Like,
Here's
a radio, you know, had the, you know, the USB, the Apple thing, you know, all the works. And that feeling I had there, and it wasn't because my dad did it at the end of the day, but like, it was coming from us. It was just like, you know, that feeling became like my addiction, you know?
Yeah,
you know, nothing felt better than being able to do that.
There is nothing better. Well, we'll make sure to include links to the, you know, the charity, your website. I mean, you got it, obviously your social media, so people can, you know, check it out. I guess just final question before we go, man, is just, I noticed your style. I saw you had some big baggy shorts with a Patriots logo on it once. Like, you know, just like, how do you think about style in the ring and you know, like what you're going to wear and what's going to go on your shorts, minus obviously the advertisement side of it.
Yeah. I am a pretty, I don't know if mundane is the right word, but like, you know, plain Jane, like, honestly, I wear like black every day. You know, I had like the fashion kick for a while, made a couple of dollars, you know, and I bought the red bottoms and the and so on and so forth. But I kind of going back to the personal development, I try to reserve as much energy as possible, where I don't think about what I'm wearing as much. So like, I'll wear like same thing every day. It's a black shirt, combination of black shirts or, you know, neutral colors, today and now, right? But that's just for the sake of like, I don't care what I look like in a sense. I just want to, you know, be sleek, you know, conserve the energy. But on the flip side, you know, when I was boxing and I was, you know, in the spotlight, you know, the goal was to stand out. So like, it's like inherently in me to want to be different, you know? So if everybody's wearing black, I want to wear white, you know?
Or Patriot shorts.
Or they look good. I want to pop. Yeah.
You so definitely did.
That style is so different than today's style. I'm a chameleon in that sense. But I mean, the goal there was, it was just I would try to do something different and shake it up every fight at the end of the day. So,
Yeah. Man, those Patriot shorts definitely
the
shook them
shorts you're
up.
referring to, those are actually, I wore those because I was trying to save money at this fight because I bought those
Yeah.
in the amateurs, and so those are actually
Yeah.
old. That was an old uniform, but the mentality of like why I chose what I wore was ultimately like okay, like one time I wore something, it kind of backfired on me. I looked more like a somebody out of Magic Mike rather than what I was going for. I was
I mean,
like a sequined like top hat. It was supposed to be like an Italian like mob style like suit type of thing. Kind of creative because it was like a boxing uniform. So I did it sleeveless instead of having like a jacket, right? But I had like the you know the suit coat like you know cuffs and all that stuff. And once it was
Man,
on
I.
it,
People would spend big money for those right now. Like, I'd pay top dollar if I could get those shorts. So,
I had people offer me like couple thousand bucks for, I mean, I paid like seven,
that
eight
is
hundred
so
bucks to have them made.
wow.
But yeah, and I mean, my name 13 and 0 Providence. Okay. You know,
Yeah.
there's definitely some people that are big fans of me. In
Yeah.
the way someone might be a fan of a Tom Brady, but I never really scratched that surface. I was at that point where at 13 and 0, that's where you start taking those big TV fights and you start taking those
Yeah.
risks. And you jump into the in with the sharks, you know, it's sink or swim at that
Well,
level. So
man, I after getting to know you a little bit and hearing stories and all this, man, you are the shark. And so, listen, I'm super appreciative of your time. You're obviously a busy man and a lot going on. And so, I'm so excited to kind of continue to follow along what you have going on outside the ring, and mostly just wanted to say thank you for your time today.
no, I want to thank you. I appreciate your time. Appreciate the platform. I'm kind of keeping some things under lock and key until they're ready. But the two projects that I'm working on in the tech companies are because I didn't really talk anything about them. But that is where that's been my life the last 2 years is like you know kind of nourishing these projects because I intend to use them as like my portfolio companies, you know, to that'll be my resume for, you
Yeah.
know, raising my own capital and do, you know, having a venture capital fund. And that's because that's really where I want to be. You know, right now I just became the CEO of one of the tech companies that I invested into. And the other one is it's X-ray technology. And we had offers last year for you know, 8-figure offers last year. And we're basically that was just basically for like the patent is really what it comes down to because we're not
Wow.
commercially available yet. So two very exciting projects that I would love to talk more
We'll
about.
get.
That'd be like the whole point of the episode because that'll
All
take probably as much time or more to dive into those. But those are that's my life now. That's where those brought me, and I'm really excited about those projects. So I would love,
Awesome,
I
man.
appreciate the time, being able to share my story here today, and I look forward to the next one and whatever I can do to help your platform. And it's always good to see some local guys doing some cool things, and I mean, you probably seen a lot of cool things at the end of the day, being around the TVs of the world. But this is awesome, and I think you know being able to give back and share and network with people like yourself is amazing. So I appreciate you reaching out and I appreciate the platform, my friend.